Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
Thank you.
Show number, shit, I forget. Anyway, we are live and dealing with another hump day, so we will carry on and do what we need to do. Good evening once again. My name is Michael and Ben, DJ Honeycomb from Total Music Concerts, LTD, and welcome to Soul Trivia and Raw. Can't get the soul out now, damn. Like, oh, it sounds like Scooby. Anyway. Soul Tree Radio on the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNDudes.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. All the good shit. Who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now. We used to do the rolling art thing pretty good. Anyway, right now at www.BASNDudes.com. Shout out to the Nethers of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be. The nigga line is in effect. And, of course, Pat Freeman, the mighty Oba. Happy birthday, brother. Can't forget Brother Oba. May your tribe increase. We send you love from the University of Mars. Show, we will not forget you, darling. We got you here along with Dio Lendo Ledbetter coming in from Philly. Everyone on the African-American Athlete Show. Tim, Mike, and Ricky, check them out. They'll be on tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. Radio Reggie coming out of Richmond, Virginia. Professor Fred at North Kakalaki. We'll hear from them later on. But as always, we kick off with my main man, Ryan Shack, and the bad man from the East Bay, Gary Norris Gray. What a G.
Yeah, we got a good verse.
First teen crushes. She's a beautiful woman. How the hell Phil Spector ever nailed her? That's another story by itself. She had to be on girl. She said. But I digress. But yes, Ronnie is no longer on this mortal coil. We miss her and we love her as we say goodbye. Tony, good evening, brother. How are you tonight?
I feel it's my civic duty to remind Gary that stalking is illegal in 39 of the 50 states of the Commonwealth of the United States of America. Just a friendly reminder from your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Good looking up. Thank you,
Spider-Man. I have a historical tidbit here. The Las Vegas Raiders messed it up.
How?
If the Raiders had tied to San Diego, Los Angeles Chargers.
You were right the first time. They should be back in San Diego.
Well, anyway, if they had tied that game, all of the old AFC would have been in the playoffs. All of the old AFL teams would have been in the playoffs. You know that?
Well, that's true, Gary. But to have that happen, there would have to be some elements of sabotaging letting everybody know that the fix was in. Now, amongst us, we have Radio Reggie as well. Reggie, can you hear us?
Peace and blessed deacons for defensive justice and to the shoulders of the ancestors that we stand on. We said thank you, Nazarene warriors. I know we talked earlier, Mike, and I'll let you go ahead and do what you got to do before we talk.
Okay, well, you know, before we carry on, one of our members is no longer on this mortal coil, and I feel that Reggie is a sponsor for us, as I was and we all were, so we want to give Sonic Cheryl a couple of minutes here to remind everybody what a wonderful woman this person was. Reggie?
One thing about, I can't believe I'm saying this, but the ancestor, Cheryl's degree, the highest degree of ancestor, it's really, really was hard hearing that news last week. And I loved her spirit. I loved her fight. And I loved the way she knew politics. Sometimes we would agree to disagree, but
yeah.
you didn't back her down. I mean, she had a ferocious appetite for freedom fighting. Just like the Fannie Hamer, the Shirley Chisholms, I'm a little full right now because, like I said, when you lose somebody, never had a chance to meet her in the physical tone, but the mental tone, she was just like a beautiful queen, you know, so.
You know, you're
I
not by yourself,
you know, I just made a pass on. Yeah, I let the next person talk.
I know you know you're not by yourself because I met Cheryl in 1975 at Vernon Valley at the Playboy Club. That's when Hugh Hefner was trying to get the gaming license so he could turn it into a casino. Met her and two of her friends, Joyce and Patricia Fassett, at the resort. We had bought the whole floor out. We set up the suite. We had recording equipment in the middle. It was a really nice setup. And we had about, oh, I'd say about 40, 50 people with us. And Cheryl appeared, voluptuous, vivacious, that little sexy southern look. But she immediately proved she wasn't an airhead. And we had a wonderful trip. We stayed in touch. And she has been part of me, in and out, between relationships and all that good stuff, for years. And I didn't even know that she worked at the Philadelphia Tribune, and just like me, she got tired of their bullshit and she left. So, Cheryl, we love you, darling, and we know now as an ancestor, you will keep an eye on us down here, keep us in line when we need to, and always be looking out for us. You know, her brother, Daryl. Daryl, quit me up because you were saying we were done. Hey, you trying to back on my sister? I was like, yes.
Such a foolish question to be asking.
But like I said, she was a smart and she was pretty. And we miss her spirit. We called her Sonic Cheryl because whether she was loud or whether she was soft, she was really right on it. You know, and you can agree to disagree, but, you know, she made a mark when she came on and gave us another voice which we could carry through and pass on our information. So we dedicate this show to you, Sonic Cheryl, because we went dark this weekend because of you. So the discourse we lay out tonight will be a continuation, so our ancestor will be so noted. And I'll carry this through to the floor. Anyone second my motion to dedicate the show to Cheryl?
Oh, second, third, fourth, fifth.
All right. So second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
There you go. See, you like that shit. That stereo. That's your high place. That's your high place.
Make it official. Motion carry.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
motion
really.
Carry. Okay. There you go. Okay, Cheryl.
Oh,
we love
Gary's doing his cameo now. Gary's doing his cameo impression. Hey, Gary, is that Judge going out the door with the Giants? Ow.
Now, Mike, I want to get this right. Now, Judge Judy was fired by the Giants, and they're going to hire Judge Joe Brown to take over as head coach. I'm just trying to.
Yeah,
Shots
fired.
It sort of caught me off guard because it didn't happen on Black It didn't happen on Black Monday, so
Monday,
I just wanted to make sure.
I said
2 weeks ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland, Chicago, Jacksonville, L.A. Chargers, Denver, Vegas, and both of the New York teams were going to fire the coaches.
Gary, how many black coaches we got now in the NFL? Just one?
Two.
Who's the second black coach? David Tully and Michael and Mike Tomlin. Those are the two.
That's right.
David Tully, who's he coach for?
Well, I guess technically it's not an NFL team. It's the Houston Texans.
Oh, the Houston.
No
Houston.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
But you know what, gentlemen? The thing that mystifies me even more is that Coach Flores was shown the door. And this is a man whose team started off 1-7, and he kept it together, and they actually got it.
They beat the Patriots twice, and he gets the door.
I said that they were the only team that was conditioned to beat the Patriots, and they did.
Yeah.
And what did he get for it?
Mike, it's a damn shame that Aaron Rodgers and his podcast had to get Judge fired. They said, you just call that play to me on third and goal and see what happened. That should be shoved right back to the sideline. Next day, you're out of here. You don't think that was a coincidence? Come on, man.
Yeah.
And the reason why he was fired is because he wanted to get Watson as quarterback, and that's why he didn't like him.
He wanted to get fired. He was trying to get out of there. I don't know why everybody believes that you have to win games to not get fired. Lovie Smith went 10-6 his last season, and they kicked his black ass to the curb. You know, so it's like,
and they haven't been the same since.
No.
Hey, Mike, what's the history of that franchise? The same one that had a no handshake, no niggas in the league.
Yep.
Who was part of that?
No kidding. Well, look, you know what? I say that they have made that bid, and they haven't even lied at it yet. Because the bed's so funky and the drawers are so dirty and the sheets are so messed up, nobody wants to get in bed in the first place. The NFL is stinking rich with money right now. I mean, ain't no broke franchise in the NFL.
What is the Rooney Rule?
Forget the Rooney Rule. They know damn well they give
a
fuck
about the Rooney Rule. See, people forget, look, the Rooney Rule is just about the interview. It's just about the interview. That's all. Because, you know, you've had this like Jacksonville interviewed Byron Leftwich. And I believe they also interviewed Jim Caldwell. And I'm sure for these opening, put it this way. It's about ensuring that they get interviews. It doesn't ensure the job. Now, I will say this. I think we're going to have a couple of black head coaches get jobs this year. Just a feeling. And it may be guys that had former jobs, or maybe guys who've been long overdue. But I do get the feeling that we will see a couple more brothers coaching. Now that still doesn't. It still doesn't raise the bar that high, but I think
Yeah, it's, you know, let's say, so there's seven openings. I'm going to say like maybe two to three you'll see a blackhead go
higher. I think that's a good number. And again, Eric Bieniemy, who was a hot choice 3 years ago, they haven't even mentioned him. And we got to wonder why, not W, not X, why did you not select the guy who was responsible for a Super Bowl offense? Yeah,
the offensive coordinator
that's what I mean, Bieniemy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't be a coordinator and name only. I mean, you can and get a check, but they don't want, and this is where the white supremacy aspect of this keeps going. They'll hire you, but if you're not a superstar, don't say, what the fuck? Remember Jim Caldwell. Jim Caldwell went 14-0 in his first season. And that's when Indianapolis was beating everybody. And then the 15th game, they decided to start their number two guy, Corgi, whatever the fuck his name was. Anyway, he sucked.
Uh-huh.
And he got their ass whipped. So Indianapolis went into the playoffs that year, I believe 15-1 or 14-2. It didn't matter. The whole point was they took the gas pedal off when they got the game 15, because right now you have a black coach who had more consecutive wins in their rookie season than any other coach ever in professional football. And they don't want folks to remember that.
Thank you.
Yep. And as lousy as they were this year, you know, by hook or by crook or by tie, they're in. Now do they have a chance to beat Kansas City? I would say no, but you know,
baby yet. He's still pregnant.
He's waiting until after the holiday. He's waiting until after the holiday.
What holiday? Dr. King's birthday?
Smorgasbord Sunday, I guess, or something to that effect. I will say this. There's probably more of a chance of upsets in the wild card round than you go farther. So
if the Cardinals beat the Rams, it's gonna be some fireworks in California, boy. Woo.
We'll see. You know, it's funny you say that, because see, you know, we've had the, what is it now? We've had that. There's still, I still think there's going to be a few more coaches getting fired.
If a certain coach in Dallas don't beat the 49ers, his ass might be gone.
I still think that Cleveland, LA Chargers, and New York Jets are three more coaches.
Gary, why would you fire Salah after 1 year? I mean, seriously.
Damn,
why fire Salah after 1 year? I'm just asking. Why would you follow Salah after 1 year?
Yeah, I want to hear it.
To me, he had not proven anything to me in 1 year. Nothing.
How can you just cut him loose after 1 year, though? I mean, what's the basis?
Because I saw him in golf with a 49ers.
Yeah.
And
what
he did with
Leonard,
he has done nothing with New York Jets.
All right. Well, look,
that's just wrong, Gary. That's just wrong.
It doesn't even have to be that way. I just don't see it. I mean, look, we all know the Jets are an ass backwards organization, but I don't even think they're this ass backwards to fire a guy after 1 year. That's all I'm saying.
Gary, let me ask you a question, Gary. What game can you say that the Jets quit on? What game did they quit on the coach?
They quit on him.
They played hard the whole year round.
the first half, of the year, you watch the first half of the year, they didn't do
They're starting quarterbacks.
But this is where the front office all need to go. It wasn't just the head coach.
The talent
evaluators, they weren't doing their job. The Jets were in the low numbers on every offensive category there was. You know, they have a couple of players. Yes, they do. But overall, they suck. That's not the coach's fault. That's the general manager's fault. That's the talent coordinator's fault. Those are the scouts' fault. The whole organization is a M-E-S-S, mess. And they got to do something about that.
I like that. It is. That's, you know, I get what you're saying, but even as cutthroat as the NFL, you can't give a guy. I mean, you know, unfortunately, we saw that in Arizona and then Denver. But again, I think it just speaks to how matter of fact, you know, you were talking about, you know, you were talking, Reg, you were talking about Mike McCarthy. I think if Arizona goes out in the first round, considering how the second half has been, how the last 2 years, their second half has been awful. What is King? Remember, Kingsbury came in with a not so stellar whatever, and the only consistent thing with them is that they've been pretty bad in the second half. And this year they were able to get in. But last year, you know, they had a play-in, winning their end game, and they lost that at home.
It's true.
I still say Mike McCarthy mess around and lose bad, and the 49ers are a hot team right now. That's the one team Dallas does not want to face, and I can see them going in the big.
Well, you know what? No disrespect, but about 2-3 weeks ago, everybody was saying the same thing about the Indy Colts.
That's true. And they were right.
Nobody wants to play them. And at this point now, ain't nobody going to play them.
They ain't going to worry about that now.
So the outside looking in.
But I would say this.
If you look at the 49ers, were down 17, didn't give up, and then just reeled the Rams at home
on the road.
And
how does the game end? A Matthew Stafford interception? Wow, that hasn't happened in at least a week or so, right?
This leads us to a theory of what happens when you have too much money. Remember, Matt Flynn was signed as a free agent to be the next Seattle quarterback. And, of course, John Wilson played him out of that. Seattle smartly ate the $10 million, and I know they got that $10 million back in spades with John Wilson leading the charge. Now, years later, Carson Wentz is given to Indianapolis because their offensive coordinator played with him. And he thought, well, I can fix him. So Philadelphia took a $33 million cut to let his ass go. So what I'm saying here is that the price of mediocrity has gone up. And, of course, with mediocrity, you never get quality in return. It's like making a salad with iceberg lettuce. It has no nutritional value. And that's why I said Matthew Stafford and Carson Wentz, they're moving shit.
My name morning. KMBR 68. This morning in the Bay Area. We're talking about quarterbacks.
Okay.
I didn't remember almost 2 hours.
Well, shame on you. Shame on you for that, Gary.
Okay. They did not mention not one single black quarterback in the whole 2 hour show.
I hate to keep doing this, but you know what makes you think that they would?
That's right.
You know, I mean, you know.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They're not, you know, you can't, you know, you know, you can't keep going to, Gary, you can't keep going to white supremacy media expecting them to mention us.
That's unbelievable.
It's par for the course. You know, you can't, there's a reason why that, you know, they're separate media entities and what have you, because you're not, look, if I want to find out about HBCU sports, am I going to go to Fox Sports for HBCU news?
Look, I do this,
and I'm not trying to chastise. I'm not trying to whatever.
I know.
You've got to. You know, when you go there expecting certain things, and they've never given it to you, it's not like they're going to have a come to Jesus Alou moment and say, all of a sudden they're going to have whatever. That's why we do what we do, and our other brethren. When Mike does that roll call, and when you do your roll call before your shows start, do you mention ESPN? Do you mention Fox Sports? Do you mention Sports Illustrated? No, and there's a reason why. And if you keep going to them trying to get something that you've never gotten from them before, you're always going to be disappointed. Use them for what they are. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Only time I deal with the mouse is for live sporting events. Full disclosure, I'm watching the Knicks and Mavericks as we speak, and of course my mute button is on full, and that's all I know. I use them. For what they are, you can't avoid them, but know what you're getting, or in a sense, let me rephrase that: you know what you're not gonna get when you go to them.
Yep. But what you will get is a bunch of airheads talking a bunch of nonsense, and forwarding a big bastardly mentality where black quarterback virtues are stifled. Black quarterbacks are not intelligent. They're called athletes the same way somebody would call somebody nigger. And to make it worse, those who have the virtues, that have the leadership skills, that have everything, all the intangibles that they talk about with white quarterbacks, they can't stand it. So then they'll grudgingly admit somebody may have the right stuff. But look at what's going on. As we go into the postseason, the hot free agent will be Russell Wilson. Now, what can they really say badly about Russell? That he's short. Yeah, he's short, and he's won more games than any other fucking quarterback in the league over the last 10 years he's been in.
The only one who's been this year.
Yeah.
And remember, Russell is 32 or 33 years old. So they'll try to say he's old. But yet, other nondescript white dead roach quarterbacks can be 35 or 36, and they'll say, oh, he's
going to give him too much.
Drive water.
Yeah. So they don't care. Now, the NFL took in money through all kinds of revenue streams last year. And the most important were the ones that were non-revenue streams. There were not. The NFL made buku coin off of fantasy, off of gambling, off of gaming.
Mike, you forgot the most important thing, tax reserves, when they went into these different states and fleeced all these taxpayers like us. Don't forget the most important thing they did.
The National Football League is a 501c6 entity. Translation? They're not for profit. This is a not for profit, making all kinds of money, stealing money. And
don't forget the military. They got money from the military, too.
That's right.
Oh, sure.
That's right. They get cash from everywhere.
Can we get rich by the glory of the flag? So probably we made the cash and everything.
You know, that's true. You're getting that kind of money and you can do pretty much what you want. And that's exactly what the NFL has been doing. They made sure that game continued on. When games were postponed because of COVID or something else, they made sure the schedule moved on. They made sure that contract was replenished so that the game after week 10, where every contract is honored and every player gets paid, the NFL got their schedule flexed so that all that money could be made. And now if you go into the playoffs, there's no broke franchise at all. Even the pretty tax is worse as they are.
And they're even showing you their arrogance this weekend. They've got, for the first time, you have a Monday night playoff game.
That's right, wild card, yes.
Yeah.
And I read an article today.
They is pimping.
I read an article today. The ratings are at 2015 level. It's going back to 2015 level again.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to remember, to qualify it, because they sent out a thing today about how they had their largest audience. But see, here's how they fudge it. You have to remember, now if you're just talking strictly network games, the Mouse, CBS, NBC, and Fox, those numbers are down. But see, here's where they make their money. They make their money off of Red Zone.
That's right.
Their money off of Amazon Prime. And see, here's the thing. The contract for Sunday Ticket and Red Zone is up. And the scuttlebutt is that it's basically going to come down to either Disney Plus or Amazon in regards to Sunday Ticket. Now, to a certain extent, Sunday Ticket, to a certain extent, Sunday Ticket is probably the buku of it all because that basically entails the Red Zone. It entails that fantasy channel that they have run all during the day as well. Because, if you've got a computer and if you've got the internet, you can get to the I've changed my mind on this. I don't think they'll ever go out and out and make the Super Bowl pay-per-view here's the reason why. They really don't need to.
They really don't need to.
The places that are going to quote unquote pay for the Super Bowl, it's mainly like foreign entities. And if you should have, because see, now the Super Bowl's on NBC this year. So now also this weekend, the games on NBC can be seen live on Peacock. The Monday night ESPN game is also going to be seen on ABC.
Mm-hmm.
And the games on CBS are also going to be sold on Paramount. I'm not sure. Now, with Fox, I believe they're going to put them on Fox Deportes, I believe. I'm not sure.
Yes.
But the thing is, for every game that's going to be on, quote-unquote, free TV, there is going to be a paid entity that's going to have it on as well. But also, they cover themselves both ways. Yeah, we're going to put the Monday Night Game on ESPN, but we're going to put it on ABC as well, so folks that don't have cable can still watch the game.
And CBS is going to broadcast an NFC game, which they have not done. An NFC playoff game has not in 30 years.
Yep.
Going back to the Dallas Cowboys and 49ers.
Yep.
With the game.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense for them. You know, all the ratings that have come out, most of the highest ratings have been NFL games, not NBA, not NHL, NFL. You know, I still don't know which is more, a goo or a gob. But to get it's a shitload of money. You know, I got a professor here. Maybe a professor can give me the answer to this as well.
Well, Mike, it's probably equal in both, because the number one watched game this year was the Cowboys and Raiders game on Thanksgiving.
That was the
second of the three. Now they also forced you to watch that alleged professional team in downtown Detroit as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you got to take the shit with the sugar, apparently.
Here's what I was thinking. We got the professor in the mix as well. We're watching the game, Chargers Raiders. It's tied. They're in overtime. Who on this thread did not think that there might have been some situation where they just said fuck it and let the game be a tie so that they both get in?
If they were screaming, all the AFL teams would have been in the playoffs. All the original eight would have been in the playoffs.
Except for Denver.
But Pete Rozelle got exactly what he wanted. He had a whole shitload of teams that were close to 500 when he became commissioner back in the day. He said that's what he wanted. He wanted everybody 7-7 fighting for a spot. And he just about got that.
The icebreaker was the extra game.
Yeah.
Because
the extra game
made
a difference.
What was it, 20 teams? I guess going into last Sunday, what was it, 20 teams? 24 teams were still mathematically have mathematical shots to get in the playoffs.
That's right. So Miami had a shot to get in after 1-7. I mean, that was a lot of road to catch up. The Eagles are 9-8 and made the playoffs. Cleveland is, 7-10. And they failed to make the playoffs. So is this glorified mediocrity by allowing all this to happen? Or is this genuinely teams playing their way in? Professor, why don't you shed some light on this?
Can I get a hell yeah? All right.
Yeah, pretty much.
Let's see. For once, I found myself pulling for the Raiders
mm-hmm.
when they weren't playing the Cowboys, because I hate both.
Yeah.
But you know, and the Raiders are at least spirited about their obnoxiousness, and then the Cowboys try to be.
Why you want to mess with my Raiders, man? Why you want to do that?
Gary, I wasn't going to bring up the catch. or nothing else immaculate.
Shots fired, Professor.
At one point Sunday night, my mind is about four steps ahead of the commentators, and
start thinking about the money.
You haven't heard earlier in the day, hey, if Pittsburgh wins, they're in. Pittsburgh wins, they're in. But if there's a tie,
me being me,
I heard all of that, and then I thought it wouldn't be that stupid to so open, you know.
It's just that
Can you believe that this league would openly? Because you know, I've told you, the way things go in the NFL, the NBA, whatever, is with the officials. Some off the cuff situation happened, and the officials will come up and say, "Hey, it was a catch."
Yep.
We saw that a couple of times in the game Sunday night.
Oh yeah.
Boring as it was, and
we
still thinking, no, they're smarter than that. The NFL is smarter than that.
No,
and
they're
then,
not. No, they're not.
Yeah, you're right.
We're giving them way too much. We're giving them way too much credit, man.
Somewhere way out on the other side of left field or right field, wherever you want to say, way out China somewhere or somewhere out there. Here comes Goofy saying, well, you know, if we're in the latter stages of the game, are the two of both teams going to just kneel down? If it remains a tie, are the both teams going to kneel down and both be in, you know, be in the playoffs?
In the playoffs.
That's all they got to do.
Yep.
And I'm hearing out of one ear, I'm hearing Goofy say this, and then on the other ear, I'm hearing this is strictly his mind coming out. Yeah. It was Al Michaels saying, "Shut the fuck up."
I thought at one point he really was going to say that too because he was still like
that would have been better than
"Do you believe in miracles?"
and then that wasn't bad enough.
A few seconds later,
some things start transpiring on the field.
Yep.
The
elbow catch that my man made in the fourth quarter, I said, oh, my God, it was overruled. I said, it's shit getting deep now.
Well,
yeah,
this way.
There was still
Exhibit A.
Where I purely thought, okay, they're going to do this right here. I mean, this is where, this is where they're going to figure, they're going to see just how stupid fans are.
That's
because they played it all the way to the hill.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, because I was expecting to hear, so they're going to kick wide left, wide right. No, it was straight down. It was straight down the pipe. It just, you know, get this, an NFL kicker, 30-some yards, an NFL kick. Well, it just didn't quite make it over the bar. And I'm thinking, Art Rooney and every other Steeler from whenever back in the day going to sit up and go, no, hell, you didn't.
Yeah, well, hell, they did. And, you know, I will take stupid fans and unruly calls for 1,000, Alex. Now, in that
ding,
Charger
ding,
Raider
ding,
game.
Daily double, the daily double.
Yes, indeed. Now, in that Charger Raider game, there was one call that blew my mind. Now, it was bad enough I saw.
Which one?
No
so
call,
many.
The,
which
it
one?
Was bad enough I saw no call on the pass interference in the Seattle game. This one, the receiver is downfield. Quarterback throws the ball. The ball falls at least 20 yards short. Short. And they throw the flag. I'm like, what the fuck? Sure enough.
Hey, Mike, I got a quick question for you. The Alabama and Georgia game, is it me or did the quarterback for Alabama look like he was a punching dummy? I see more jaws shots to the jaws. I thought it was Mike Tyson beating up Ernie Shavers, man. I mean,
yeah,
they look at him when he
snapped
back and they was popping him.
You know, referees, we can't trust them. But meanwhile, back in the Bros, the flag is thrown for pass interference. Now, it's not fair to say it was contended because both players didn't even know where the fucking ball was. The ball was at least 20 yards short. Yet, the officials called a spot foul and moved the penalty downfield. So that was 43 yards total, something like that, with the ball being thrown as opposed to just saying defensive holding or something else, automatic first down. It was a bullshit call. And it ruined the otherwise pretty decent game.
Mike, I'm at the point now where I think the NFL referees are basically part Troy Polamalu and part Otis the Town Drunk, never not drinking. And it's just like I don't get it. You know, and see my exhibit A from that game was that last drive. Now, 19 plays in like 80 yards and like two or whatever, and they converted fourth down three times.
Three times.
Just that drive. Three times.
Yeah.
Because it was like, you know, what? I mean, remember when Richard Pryor made the joke about, the reason why Joe Lotta beat Sugar Ray Robinson so many times because he had all those white people holding him up in the ring. I swear, you got that feeling Sunday night because it was like they're going to make sure this game is tied and go into overtime. Because remember, they built up that game.
See there?
Yeah.
Somebody else saw that played out. I sat back and I sort of mentally watched the games that I watched parts of. You all had it made because you all didn't have to watch any part of this game between Tampa Bay and the Panthers.
Yes,
isn't regional
telecast wonderful?
No shit.
They should be dangerous. especially when their whole thing about their organization is they stood and went through a quote quarterback carousel, and I'm thinking, how did this? It makes me wonder how this man, whoever the owner is, he is a billionaire. A certified, he may spend $100 million on developing, putting things in place for the team, because he's spending. He is nothing. I mean, Richardson was just real wealthy.
Yeah,
Richard, all he did was spend a couple hundred thousand dollars here and there. And built up Warford College, the school where he went to school.
True.
Now, this man has basically a college campus for football, for the football team. Mm-hmm. And he's doing down time in community. And we all know, okay, if he got one, in today's environment, you either have a bill or you have an organization that's worth a
right.
bill plus with a few other bucks in the bank. So there's no doubt about it. But come on. He was able to do that, and then he let this guy who is 10 and whatever in 2 years, it still doesn't even have a legitimate coaching staff. The organization, I don't blame on him because it's not his call; it's the owner's call.
Yeah,
but the coaches. And and it took him 2 years to realize, you need a professional quality coach, whether he's a professional coach or not. So you can go get somebody from a place like Alabama,
yeah,
or whatever.
He's in the billionaires club. That's all he cared about. He doesn't care about the organization.
Mike. All you got to do is go up the road via north and look at Mr. Snyder. They've already put out the date when the new name is going to come out. Now when that name comes out and the merchandising or whatever, then all of a sudden, quietly, Daniel Snyder will wind up making a 200% jump from where he bought the team to when he sells the team.
Donnie, I will give my right arm. This fool is going to sell the team. What?
Oh, he's going to wait till that. No. He's not going to do it. Oh, absolutely.
I would take it a step further. After, and I know some of those old quote-unquote Redskins fans, they're already talking about they're gonna suit up.
If he might
not sell it because he might not be able to find anybody who could afford to buy it.
No kidding.
You're talking about something that's going to be like a mighty Russian wind? The mighty Russian wind is going to be all them old Washington D.C. fans are going to be lined up. Look like they're going. And get this, and I say this totally sarcastically. Some of them who won't go get a vaccine or a booster or whatever.
Yep.
Who don't want to wear masks. Gonna be in line, and they're gonna end up. Unfortunately, they're gonna be in line. They're gonna be because they won't do their due diligence. Additionally, they will not wear a mask. And being who and what they are, worse than me, digitally, they won't go out and buy online. So they gotta go get in line. And at the end of the day, some of them gonna lose their life behind. Buying stuff to wear, so you all can see that they are still, whatever the new meme is, they're still fans.
It's Air Jordan syndrome, Fred. It's Air Jordan syndrome. They can be standing in line waiting to buy some shit that they don't even know about. And think about Snyder. Where else in America, where else in the world can you invest $800 million and get 5 times back on your investment?
And even better than that, Mike, that he probably got close to that already because locally we refer to the Washington team as Douglas Bird High School. Look. Matter of fact, literally, I talked to someone who is old school. When they set the colors for when they open up Douglasburg High School here,
mm-hmm.
they actually patterned the team colors. They took Southview with black and with black and orange.
Okay.
There's another school. Anyway, the four schools they brought Jack Britt is actually one of the few. This pattern after after Minnesota.
Okay.
And there was another. Anyway, there was another school, but anyway, Douglas Bird was literally patterned color scheme wise after the old Washington Redskins because Coach Paroli had ties to people who had ties to the Washington Redskins.
Okay.
He, you know, same color, burgundy and gold.
Yeah.
Plain numbers. Now he's totally old school. So black shoes, white socks, a la Penn State. But
right.
the numbers, the color scheme was brought in from the Washington Redskins. This was 1970.
Wow, it's been a long time.
Mm-hmm. Fall of 72 when they opened. Cause this and it was built right out. Cause they were building the school as I was finishing up school.
Okay.
Cause that's why I tell people when I graduated from high school, Douglas Bird was a hole in the ground, literally.
Hmm.
And they opened it up and anything related to Douglas Bird, cause Douglas Bird and Douglas Bird Junior High / Middle School are basically the same campus. They just got angled away so that, but you can walk through the wood through the wooded area from one to the other, but they use the same football field.
Yeah. Interesting. You know, it's fucked up that they've gotten to this point. They got away with this to this point. You know, no broke franchises at all. Not that I want anyone to be broke, but if you're not broke, you know, no, there's no inspiration or attitude in trying to be better. Basically, you sit on your investment, which is what most of the teams in the league have done. You think about it. What team has actually tried to improve itself over the last 5 years? Every franchise, I mean every franchise in the National Football League, is worth $1 billion+. So who's trying to make their team better? They don't give a fuck. If you count the money they get from TV rights and other things, as far as free agents are concerned, it's who you have in your front office. If your people are incompetent, you're making money even in spite of that. So now football has gone back to what it was in the beginning, where it didn't matter how good your product was or how bad your product was, as long as it was on the field, it made money. The only question was, how much money did they make?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's you know, there's a, you know, with the NFL, it's a five-tiered thing in the sense there's five teams that are actually trying to improve. They'll spend a few extra bucks. There's five teams that'll do just enough to make it so that their fan base can be like, hey, see, we're doing this. Hey, we're bringing, we brought in Carson Wentz. Hey, we brought in Matthew Stafford. Hey, you know, and then the rest of them, it's like, you know, they're trying to like your guy in Philly. The only Super Bowl they want to win is the salary cap Super Bowl. Now he messed up a couple of years ago and won a Super Bowl. But true to his name, how many of those guys are left? There's still a few there.
They're almost
the core. Of the core.
You're right, Tony. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Especially in the NFL. Absolutely. But yeah,
New Orleans Saints, the first 20 years, what do they do? Absolutely nothing.
Yep.
And moved into Giants Stadium and made bukus of money. I mean, bukus of money in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. And Mike,
I could be wrong. Now, with the few exceptions of some cities, you know, like the big cities or whatever, in a lot of instances, and the Saints hit that, they were either the first professional team in that town or at some point were the only professional team.
That's right.
In
remember
that
the
town.
NFL. The NFL was not going. The NFL was not going south.
Utah.
Yeah. Listen, the NFL was not going south. You were as south as Washington. You know, when Atlanta came in only because the AFL was trying to get franchised and they would use Atlanta. But they got beaten to the punch by the NFL. You know, the NFL South was the last place they were going to go. AFL was already in Miami. They finally came through with Miami. But when they convinced the league,
the middle
was not a South. So, yes, the South was the last place that they explored franchise.
Mike, Mike, they always looked at the South like the like Bugs Bunny did. Why is the South so far south? That's how they always look at it. And again, it took the AFL to do it because the Kansas City Chiefs are of course the former Dallas Texans. The only reason why you have the Dallas Cowboys is out of spite. We have the AFL was going to go to Minnesota, then all of a sudden the Minnesota Vikings are coming there. And you knew, put it this way, here's to show you just how spiteful the NFL is. After the whole incident in 1965 in New Orleans with the AFL All-Star game, literally 2 years later, all of a sudden the Saints and the Falcons are
yes,
born.
That's exactly right.
Gary, look,
we all know Christopher Columbus was the original commissioner of the NFL because only he could put the Arizona Cardinals in the NFC.
That's right. We got Patrick Farrar in the mix. Patrick, can you hear us?
Live in living colors. What's up, fellas?
Hey, Patrick.
For decades.
Oh, it's spiteful. It's very, very spiteful. And it's always funny because you see the little AFL, NFL tie-ins and biases over the years. You know, it plays out. It plays out.
True that. Patrick, I'm going to ask you a question as we shift subjects here in our What If series. You know, now, according to them, NIL means that a young Patrick Farrar, if he is eligible, can play, get paid, maybe get a little something on the side because he's coming in with a deal that will benefit him to some degree. Now, we fast forward a few years, and we hit the case of one Maurice Claret. Now, when Claret came in, he made a shitload of money for Ohio State. I don't doubt that. They played for the national championship. They won. Mm-hmm. And because they won, Claret, who was a freshman, was being pushed in a bunch of different directions. Can you remind everybody just how tenuous this was as it shook itself out?
Well, he came in and helped the team push toward the national championship. He was definitely effective. There were some underlying issues that they had that was going on anyway, but they were well hidden,
right?
You know, but you know, it happens with a lot of people. Make a long story short, he made them outside of. He made two of the most important plays in the championship game. He made the touchdown and the overtime. Plus, he made that outstanding play on defense to when they stripped the ball on the sideline, he caught the guy who scored the winning touchdown. So he had a lot of juice going with him. But in this case, he had a lot of ears around him, a lot of people around him that, you know, you can do this. Let me cut it short. The thing is, in the case of the Negro League, we all know that as much as I love Jackie Robinson outside of Second Hero Behind My Daddy, he wasn't the best baseball player in the Negro League. Minor leagues. But he was the right person to do what needs to be done to get in to the major.
Agreed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If Maurice Claret wasn't the right person to make that move, he was the exact wrong person to make that move. And
yes.
Which made it easier to put him in a situation where he could be combative, particularly with the former AD of Ohio State, who was livid that he would even make that move.
Yep.
So that's really, to make a long story, that's what it was. He just had the wrong person, as opposed to somebody like Ed O'Bannon, who came in, you know, and serendipitously out of the fact somebody told him his image was on a EA game. He said, what? He was retired working at a Mercedes dealers in Arizona, and that kicked off the whole thing. So, but in all seriousness, the NIL is what it is. As a matter of fact, there's a fascinating movie that's out right now called National Championship, in which they're talking about the NIL in this movie. And guess what? The game that they're going to protest is guess what game? The National Football Championship. They go for a whole story about that, which is interesting. But it is what it is. My thing is, I have no problem with it. My motto is on that: cave, I get paid. And in particular, two people that I'm particularly surprised, and not surprised, that are upset that the NRL's happening. One guy named Nick Saban and his cousin, Dabo Sweeney.
Which, of course, brings us to our weekly question. Has Dabo quit yet?
No,
of course not. Oh no, he's not here. He does the best Gary Norris Gray impersonation I've ever seen. He is not happy.
Wait, and the trick about it, for two people who have been so successful and get paid so much, what do y'all complain about? Let everybody eat. Not just share. And they're having a problem with this new season. Now, there's now a third recruiting season. There's two more to go. One in February next month. I'm doing a show on that one in the station.
Right.
But the other one is now the NRL, which really affects another recruiting season. There are already about 30 players have switched already to teams. Matter of fact, three left Ohio State and four came in.
And I guess, like, what was it, about 15, 20 kids between Georgia and Bama put themselves on the transfer portal as well?
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. So who's going to get paid? And it goes to every level, HBCUs. It's even going to three schools. I'm going, really?
I don't want to say anything. But I recently had to go back to Southern Connecticut State University to see if I had any eligibility left, just to make sure.
Hey, man.
Unfortunately, I flunked too many Spanish 101 classes, so this way. El Guapo is El Stupido. That's all I'm going to say.
Tony, what the problem was that big leg girl in the front. That's why he couldn't understand Spanish.
Muy bonito.
There's the issue right there. I mean,
there you go.
It's making an impression on the league, and it is what it is. And it's hard to, and we all know, guys, it's just what it was before, but now it's up front. And for now, here's the trick. I'm looking for it, and somebody's going to come out with it, and I know college is going to holler and scream. Some NRL deal is going to be made with one of these gambling sites with a player that's going to freak people out. I don't
say
know.
That.
Now, schools are battling that. They won't do it. But you know one player who there's going to be a player say, damn that, I'm taking the money, drafting on my shoulder. It's coming.
Sure. That's right.
Sure.
You know it's coming.
Once he signs the contract, it's still up to the NCAA.
That's
true. You all remember that organization. It's still up to them through their clearinghouse to say whether or not he's eligible or not. I hate to play the race card, but some poor brother or sister are going to go out there and make that kind of a deal.
They're going
to say, well, I don't know. I don't think they're going to declare. And see, they can declare them ineligible. Then it's up to the school to go through the process to
there's another factor here too, though. Because see, wouldn't it behoove the NCAA to basically say, hey, if you give us a cut, we'll look the other way?
You know they will. You know they will.
When is the last time we have voted, and the vote be certified that the NCAA is first of all honest, smart, in the other things that we like to do. And since we have not done that in recent years, they're gonna, you know. And see, the deal with them is all they have to do is delay, because once you get to a certain point, how, you know, even if this young man or young lady goes with a red shirt year, if we don't have another COVID incident like we just had, where we get that 6 year, all they got to do is wait.
Yeah.
And you know, if it comes down to going to court, anything above state or district court, it's going to take a year, 2 years to get to court.
And Fred, let me add to that, Fred. There's going to be some lawyer just waiting. Oh, I want this case. I'll do a to get my name out. And the reason I'm so confident about it, my two best friends are 13 years old. We've been friends since all three of us 13 years old. Both of them are lawyers, and one was a judge and a law professor. And somebody said, Ray, you know something? There's something that we're going to put some money behind. You think you can do it? How much you paying? I do it. And I like
Now, maybe I'm overstepping here. What would antitrust have to do in regard with the NCAA? Is that even a factor at all, or am I?
It's a good question because you don't have to deal with that before.
As a former poli sci major, when is the last time you've seen them move railroad tracks?
Yeah.
Ain't never been no bigger antitrust in the new United States than the railroads.
Right.
Today in downtown Fayetteville, you had two trains stopped on the tracks going in the same direction.
Holy shit.
Oops, indeed.
Now, this is 2022, y'all, and that stuff still happens. It's unbelievable.
It's just all you all the foreigners that don't know this. Downtown Federal, there's just two tracks that go through the basically the center of downtown. Been doing this for 100 plus years. Now.
Mm-hmm.
When you go through downtown Fayetteville, you got the two tracks. At about 4 miles away there's a point mm-hmm. where the tracks cross the river. When the track okay. crosses the river, guess what? Ain't but one set of tracks. So the train going in the same direction, that one has to wait for the other. They're basically, one was waiting for the other to pass so it could go across the river. Mm-hmm. And then in about 10 miles further up, it reopens as back to two tracks. And they have like one holding track and all that other nonsense up there. But my point is this. If you go back and study a little bit about the railroads, the railroads have had they've had their way, and as far back as you can as most people can remember, and some other people can't remember. But you know, they don't. I mean, realistically, you reach a point where there's basically no such thing as antitrust, because you got the people who are governing the entity, railroad, yep. NCAA. You know, how many guys have we heard? He's ineligible. Mm-hmm. Why? He took money from so and so, or they suspect he took money from so and so. Really?
Yep.
What proof do they have?
Yeah, really.
Yep.
It all gets all crazy.
Right.
But at the end of the day,
somebody woke up Garfield Heard again, and he's getting blamed for this. This is terrible.
Come on.
I see money exchange up there every day.
He was just buying him a bag of chips. He wasn't doing anything wrong.
I was telling somebody the other day, they put a picture on Facebook, and a friend of mine called me, of the late Pearl Washington. Well, I was at a game, Pearl Washington retired, and I was covering the game in a garden, and the Big East tournament, you know, in between games, one of the guys, I forgot what team it was, but one of the guys' cousin played them on the teams. So every game, the guy walked up to the stands, you know, and whatnot, and his cousin was talking with some cats, and his cousin pulls out an envelope and gives it to him, put him in his pocket.
Uh-oh.
Now, wait a minute. His cousin might have that. And his cousin might not. Come on, y'all.
Listen, most of my interviews would be with girls from HBCU, but you know, I remember a young lady telling me that she had transferred to an HBCU after going to a PW after 2 years, and what she said was, "Oh, they were under investigation."
Mm-hmm.
Really? Yeah. And the reason they were under investigation was a similar situation. They had people that you would go talk to after the game, and they would do the food spread thing, you know, in a certain room. And at these spreads,
you mean they were feeding college kids back then?
Yeah, everyone would shake your hand and whatnot. And even if you were the third screen point guard, which means you didn't play until the game was over, they would actually go out and give you money.
Well, this new arrangement with the NIL would have made a pony access not possible. It would have been everybody doing business as usual. And Gary, in order to you, and follow through on your scenario about the HBCUs getting together, it seems like Jackson State has picked up a new plum recruit.
Sure did.
This has all been Coach Prime's work. Now, will we see that day soon enough when the HBCU will be whipping everybody's ass enough to play in the big game?
Let's put it this way. I think the atmosphere is better for it now than it was, say, 5 years ago or so.
I agree.
Well, Mike, here's what you got to look at.
Okay.
You're talking about HBCUs along with other institutions, other similar, you know, mid, you know, the term I'm thinking of before, mid majors. When, you know, okay, here's the fight the HBCUs got. They don't, you know, the Power Five is the Power Five. Their championship was held a couple of nights ago, right? I don't know about y'all. I didn't bother to watch. I had other important things to do. Anyway, you have the Power Five. I don't see an HBCU. I don't care unless they come back and pay Prairie View and Texas A and take and Texas Southern and maybe there's no Oklahoma school, but one of the places where they have the oil money and who got the money for these institutions, unless they come back and totally pay them, HBCU leadership will not spend the kind of money on sports, especially football. Get into them. Second of all, the Power Five is the Power Five. They don't even let white folks with money in.
They don't,
think about it. Go back, if you understand officiating hand signals and stuff, there was a guy trailing the play, and Butler was playing Duke University. If that shot had gone in from half court, guess what they were ready to do? They were ready to say he was Travis.
Or backcourt violation. Or something.
Mike, let me follow up with Fred Sam. Addition to what Fred Sam. He's exactly right. There's definitely a soup in that sandwich, but let's say this: the template has already been put together this year for what you have to do to compete with big boys. And the school is University of Cincinnati. They're the template. They were in the new conference. They made their way in after 3 years, three successful seasons. They beat a Notre Dame. They beat some top flight schools to get that win. And I'm like Dion in a sense. I'm not worried about playing major schools. If you do well within your own division, somebody's going to invite you to something where you have to. You can bump into that course.
Cincinnati is probably going to wind up being the next Clemson if they play their cards right. Because let's be honest, they didn't. I mean, Alabama beat them, but it wasn't. You know, it wasn't like they stomped the door. You know, they stomped the doors off of them. You know, everybody thought that this game was going to be. I mean, they beat them. But it wasn't like it wasn't like this was like
trucking.
I didn't walk away. I didn't walk away saying, "Well, Cincinnati shouldn't have been there." Listen, I didn't play well. I think they just wore them down.
Yeah. I think that's a good analogy, gentlemen.
For those of you who know all of you follow sports and that kind of thing. You know, the thing that you got to look at when you look at these kind of games, and this is generally the difference between winning and losing. It has nothing to do with your first, second, and in some cases, third string players. When you got top flight guys out there in your first three strings, and then you get to go to special teams, who are usually going to be second and third stringers as a rule. I heard somebody, I was looking for one, on watching the game not long ago, and they said, well, you know, one reason the Steelers have such great special teams is they got all pro guys playing special teams. Well, yeah. Because you think about that, the time, Mel Blount played special teams from the kickoff team and the punt team until he was like 12 years into the league. Several other guys played, because remember they had the 45-man roster back then. So certain guys just played like that. Well, this is what all these five-star players they be talking about. Oh, okay, look at Alabama. You got the second string punt team on the field, and guess who you got playing on second string punt team? Some three-star players, and these three-star players are equal to, if not better than guys that you have on your guys in your starting team. So four and five star players anywhere you want to go.
For every McDonald's All-American, there's a Piggly Wiggly All-American that's probably still trying to, get
there you go.
get there too.
T-Mac, watch it. You're going to have to explain what Piggly Wiggly is. T-Mac, you've been down here before. Me and Reggie, the only one know what you're talking about.
All I'm gonna say is Harris Teeter and Food Lion, and I'm gonna walk out the room. That's all I'm gonna say.
I would like to see North Dakota State play a big five. I would like to see how they would do, because I believe they can beat the big one.
End of the day, it's just about scholarships or lack thereof. That's all.
And Gary, that's a great point. You know why, Gary? That's a great point. Of course, it's going to happen.
No.
What team?
Well, North Dakota State is going to play. They're going to play Minnesota in 2 years. They're going to play University of Minnesota. I was
Gary, they're going to make an example of that team. It's going to happen. But when they get the opportunity, they will punish them. And they will make sure that everybody else knows that they have to punish them as well. This is a moral imperative in their minds.
Let me move walking out a little bit.
Okay.
The makeup of that team is now being prepared for that battle. About three, four years ago, let's say the offensive line was averaging about 265, 270, 280.
Yeah.
That offensive line this year averaged 306.
They are big.
Apparently, there is meat in North Dakota, huh?
Yes, there is.
And the reason why I say that is because SIU plays there once a year, and they get their butt beat every time.
I'm here to tell you there's beef in North Dakota, no doubt.
And considering the fact that we talk about, the likelihood of an HBCU school being put up there, let me tell you what's happening in the real world and relate to how the Power Five work. They're gonna put a North Dakota State first before they put an HBCU, considering.
Absolutely.
Let's get real.
SIU played Of course, they do here.
And guess what happens? Here's another reason why it happens. There's a political climate in this country to where they want to get a school
back as has a powerful piece of have a powerful team that can compete to send a message out to certain schools that these kids can compete. And a school like North Dakota State with the record they have could be the school to do just that. I'm not counting them out because them boys can play. And particularly if they get another quarterback like the kid that came from the 49ers. That's all, the only needs one brother. And they can make some stuff happen.
Look, see, once we get past all that other rigmarole out there, you know the thing that's gonna kill the HBCU or the other institution that's offered up as an offering just to keep people in their proper place.
Mm-hmm.
There's these things called referees, and
we
discuss this. No matter who or what is playing, there's going to be a holding call, pass interference.
That's right.
There's going to be, it's going to
too
be
too many men on the field.
This is like I was watching that old Grambling game, Doug Williams here. Doug dropped back, did his thing with his feet. Look down the field, and he ain't looking down the field when he's dropping back. He hangs the ball up to the right sideline at about 45 yards. And I want to say it was Sammy White, whoever it was that was going down for the pass, ran past the cornerback and had an angle on the safety so bad, so quick, that they had a white safety, of course. Had no chance of messing with the pass.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, you see this little flutter in the background off to the as you watch the game, it was to the right. There's a holding, and the guy who's supposed to be holding is standing there by himself. And everybody's running and everybody's cheering. I was like, then it's just a total inflation. That's the way the game's going to be played out. They were, because now it comes out again, you are not going to have no swag, correction. You're not likely to have a total swag officiating crew doing a swag game.
Yeah.
But see, the other thing is they don't, this is part of the whole system, okay? HBCUs talk about large crowds. They talk about all the large crowds that Jackson State had this year. But for those who don't know, Jackson State plays in a home stadium that has at least 60,000
seats. Yeah. Big difference.
Okay. Most WAC schools play in most WAC schools and most HBCUs play in home fields that are 10,000 or less.
Small. Yep.
Winston plays with 19,000. I think is a solid number. Although they always play, we had 22,000. A&T plays with 25,000. A few others play. NC Central, of course, they play with less than 12,000 states.
Fred, you know why? Because in order to get, they made that rule about 12 years ago, in order to be qualified for Division One, you have to have between $24,000 and $25,000.
Right. And most HBCUs don't have that. And then where they have like a city or county stadium or a professional stadium, remember some years ago, they used to have the Battle of the Border. South Carolina State and A&T. I worked that game the first three or four years they played it. Okay. And they would put 45,000-50,000 people, in the stands. But what was the cost? Now, granted, everything is priced the tickets right and all this other kind of stuff and demanded certain concessions from the city because, we're bringing in X number of people. Well, for those who don't know, even when the Panthers are playing out of town on a Sunday, the most other Saturdays, there's a ACC or or another team playing there. And then, you know, Appalachian State just screwed everything up, and they went up there and beat Michigan.
That's right.
You know,
yeah, well.
They're always on watch to make sure that they keep those other people who aren't willing to spend $5 million a year on a football head coach, for OC and a DC. I mean, you know, mid three figures for a special teams coach. You know, if you're not willing to spend that, an office staff of 35, 40 people just for football,
you literally get what you pay for.
And Mike, speaking of special team coaches, one year in New York got fired. A special team coach named Joe Judge. And if anybody had seen how Ryan Clark ripped him up and blew him a new one out of his butt with his commentary on Monday, it was classic.
What did Ryan say?
Well, it basically said Joe Judge is walking like a tough guy, trying to act like Bill Belichick. He said, well, since your team is losing, you need to get your Bill Belichick ass on out the stadium. That's basically it.
And take that Diet Coke with you.
And come to find out some things that obviously we knew it's coming out now. You know, he was able to sell what he could do to Meyer and the Tisch family, and it had an impact on what they thought the team would be like in the past.
Right.
You know, that kind of Tom Coughlin thing where coaches running laps, you know, running the mud. But you know something? This year, because of the fact they weren't winning, it wore on very quickly.
And then
on top of that was that rant, 11-minute rant, you know, about, you know, everybody wants to come to New York and play. I said,
I mean, he did, put this way, he did something, he made Ray Hanley look like Luke fucking Rockney.
Oh, that's bad. That's bad.
Please. And the sad part about it is the fact that he actually thought he's going to come back this year. But after that quarterback sneak with 9 yards at the 5-yard line,
third and nine on your own.
And we went a quarterback sneak, yes.
Yeah. So his situation, and along with Gettleman, who claimed he retired, no, because health issues, he didn't want to come back and deal
the health issues was that he was making the Tisches sick. That's his fucking health issues.
That's exactly right. He was COVID personified. No joke.
And one quick thing, Mike, I'll get the conversation. My boy finally from Florida got back to me tonight. And give us some insight and intel on the Flores situation. My perspective that there were some junior executives involved, but it was even higher than that. It was the fact that there has been an undercurrent of clashes in direction of the organization, which is why Stephen Ross said he had to fire Flores from the general manager. And the general manager and Flores were having some issues behind closed doors on the direction of the team, basically because Flores has had four offensive coordinators and three other defensive coordinators, and you have over 2 years with that kind of turnover, even though he's had two winning seasons. But the real story should be this, in my mind, Chris Greer, who was the general manager, and Brian Flores, guess what, are both black.
That's a straw man move. That's a straw man move because
that's what that was.
Everybody can see Miami was 1-7. Then they're 7-7. Then they're 8-7. They
that's
had definitely
record.
Achieved Jada actually achieved, and you easily make an argument about Flores being coach of the year. All right? They finally settled in. I know they were they 8-9 or 9-8 when it was done.
Eight, nine, eight.
So they won. They won. They finished up winning. They handled New England, which was something nobody else in the division could.
That's right.
So you're thinking, well, I need to hold on to this, you know? Mm. And the front office decided there's no fucking way they can roll like that because they haven't been in a position like that in years. Remember.
Since 2002.
Since 2002. Remember, there were other coaches who stayed simply because they can handle
back-to-back
shit.
Back-to-back with
Lovie Smith. Yeah, when Lovie Smith was hired, he said, our job one is to beat the Packers. They did. When Buddy Ryan was hired, at least for a little while, our job one was to beat the Cowboys.
You can't base it on beat the Panthers.
Matchups make everything, even the front offices. When you realize you got somebody who's a special talent, you let that motherfucker work. You know, you can't sit there and let incompetent people counter that because they can't take credit for their success. Flores should be coaching Miami as we speak. He should be going into his next season with a solid nucleus, and then take a shot at it. But
he's up with two jobs right now, and one is the Chicago Bears. Let's see what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I can see him as a Bears coach.
I just saw on the scroll that the Bears have also interviewed your buddy Mike Doug Peterson.
Again.
Oh, okay. Lord.
Oh, again.
Yeah. Yep.
It comes right back.
The Bears are basically the Giants Midwest.
old money, and old ass backwards ways. Yes,
true.
Yes. That's a big part of it. And the trick about the situation, which disheartened me, two brothers going at the situation like this, and then the only two outside of McClinton of have a black general manager and a black coach. Come on, yo.
Yeah. And there's a part of me that's thinking they probably played them against each other. That's what they wanted anyway.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Being in corporate America, that's always the game. Only one, you know, we don't put two of you up there, but one of you has to knock the other off the wall. Been there, done that, and you know you have to read white people, because if you truly read white people, that's when they first cross. We can go back and trace the success of certain entities within the black community, so we know that you can do that and you can have that counsel. You can be successful, but you know sometimes you just gotta swallow your pride, so to speak, and so you can move forward the way you need to move forward. And because of that, if you're not careful, when the stuff hits the fan, you have to be able to say, okay, it's either us up together, or you or me falling down apart. And if you're not careful, you know, because that was one of the things when we started talking about Deion early. Late last year and all all the stuff that he was coming out he was going to do, you know.
Yep.
Eddie Robinson was a great coach, and we have no doubt about that. Jay Gibson was a great coach. John Mayer was a great coach. You know, Eddie Robinson, you know what I mean, Jay Gibson and John Mayer talked every Monday morning. Even before and after they play, they talk every Monday morning. And this is why if you watch you watch the film of Genius that they coach, there was a certain similarity, although Gaither was more likely to run the ball than Merritt was more likely to throw the ball. But if you take their games apart and just go through and look at strategically, they told each other how to beat. They talked to each other about how to beat each other as well as other people. And see, I was interviewed today, and I was telling this guy, you know, Coach McGrindles taught guys how to beat him, and then turn around and beat them.
But I think the difference is now, one of the differences now is two things: exposure and finance.
Mm-hmm.
And they work
or lack thereof.
Yeah. And that changed the entire template of the kind of communications that they had in the past, because all they had was each other. But now they have alternatives that surrounds the technology, money, and exposure to what they want to do. And the one who gets the credit, the one who wants to dictate the story.
Yeah, because I remember talking to the late Bobby Bonds, and you know, he was long past coaching or anything, and he used to say, son, we would go to some of these clinics and stuff that these different coaches, they went to one where Adolph Rupp was the speaker. And this is still doing the change in the IA. And he said, you know, we sat up there one day, and he's discussing whatever it was. He said, we've been doing this for years. You know, we're long past that kind of a situation. And because of that, what we have is, we could have got along with somebody, because the long and short of it was, we knew stuff they didn't know how to do.
True.
And how did they know? Because Coach McClendon had already gone through the process of teaching them. Because if you know the history, and I'm sure T-Mac, he told you this while you were down south. But hey, he would go down and spend days with Coach McClendon to learn what he needed to learn. Hey, Coach McClendon literally taught him how to coach winning basketball, starting with how to get good players, how to run a game and all that kind of stuff. And I said, we had more on us going for us than we thought we ever had. It's just that they would tell us, they were those who told us we didn't have that, and we believed them. And we figured out long term that hey, our Kool-Aid is as wet as his is.
It's just anybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of college basketball, man, coming up this year, one of the things that's interesting, a team that's really intriguing, and they're in the Big Ten, is the young man from Minnesota. Rick Pitino's son had that team for years.
Yes, he did.
And, his son had it. Yeah, he did okay. He had nothing against him. But they let him go this year. Last year. They brought in a guy who used to play at Minnesota, a guy named Johnson. I think Ted Johnson is his name, as a coach. And when he came in, everybody left the squad but two people. And so he had to virtually go out and recruit the entire nation to get players. He got 10 players. And he got 9 players with the 2-2 walk-ons. And presently they had 10-4. At one time they were undefeated. And he got 2 players on the NRL with a little small something to help them out. But that's the kind of stuff that people don't talk about. And he doesn't have the resources to get in the front pages of magazines and stories. But it's the kind of thing that you're going to see more of as the years go on, because this NRL has changed how people think and what you can do to a team.
Exactly. Yeah. And see, it's like in college football. Everybody can't play for Georgia. Everybody can't play for Clemson. Everybody can't play for Michigan. You know, it's like in college basketball. Everybody can't play for UCLA. Everybody can't play for Duke and so on and so forth. But that's the thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And see, it's probably going to be, I mean, again, it's strictly numbers. It's just strictly numbers and everything.
Keep it. When is the last time you heard about University of Kentucky?
Yeah, really.
Remember,
you know,
freshmen only need apply at, we'll find anybody else we want, but we need the best freshman in the country. Well, he was getting all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He had to share a little bit with Duke, with Coach K,
mm-hmm.
and a few other folks. But then, you sometimes gotta look at the talent on the court, and then you watch how they play together. And the best I've heard it said lately is you have about fast break basketball, and this guy was taking the shot. He's at my saying that was came from Coach McClendon. I said, well, it doesn't matter about who the five coming down the court are,
mm-hmm.
how well they're playing together. Coach Mack's rule was, even if you're just passing the ball in, you're running it down the court. And I say, the difference is when you look at how these, every player is coming down the court looking for a 40-foot shot.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Every player is coming down the court, and coming down for you to pass the ball to them, not them pass the ball to you. I have a nephew who's one of the best players in Charlotte, and he's in the 10th grade. And one thing I watch some of his film, his mom sending him and stuff, and I tell him, okay, you're standing around waiting for the ball too darn much. Your whole offense is granted against a high school, you can get away with that. But when you go with bigger, faster, stronger players and smarter, they're going to kick you behind.
Yep.
And they may not have nobody because I've seen teams over years. When you hear them talking about the last team that played when the CIAA was played along with the North Carolina High School 4-8 championship. The team that was supposed to win, they started 6-6, 6-6, the 6-7, 6-6, 6-6, 6-3, 6-2, or 3 in the front line. The other team started 5-10, 5-9, 6-1, 6-3, 6-3. But they played strong fundamental basketball and ran when they wanted to. They ran them, the assistant coach at Virginia Union. But they played together versus the other guys. They weren't carrying you for them, but they might as well have been trying because at that time they weren't allowing you to dunk in high school. But I say, look at that. Look at how one team played together. Another team just played.
All right. Now, having said that, getting back to the original premise of correct, was correct situation good for football? Did he have bad advice? What was the sum total of his what if?
Morris Claret?
Yes.
Yeah, the sum total was the fact that he had too many ears, too many people in his ear. Somebody brought Jim mm-hmm. Brown in. But again,
too many wrong people.
Yeah, there you go, Fred, too many wrong people. And balls down, he wasn't the right person to pull it off. And the timing was wrong. That's everything is about timing. There's a time to which things can operate, even though things might go rocky, but it's a time to make it happen. At that time, it wasn't going to happen. And believe me, Ohio State was not going to let it happen there. They were not going to be the template to change them. No. Because too much money.
I agree.
They already making too much money doing it the way they were doing it.
Yep.
So they made an example.
And what they do is systemic to the entire area of what college football is about. In college sports,
of course,
that's what it is, man. I mean, not that it can't be now they can change because of various things, social, you know, with social climate in the country, and more importantly, it got caught with the drawers completely down and to be seen, and they have to. And when the Supreme Court says, "Are you crazy? You better pay these guys some money."
That's right. It's come to that, and there's two sidebars that came from this that we forgot to talk about. When this all came up, Doug Williams in a press conference was half joking, and he said, "Look, I got a jersey waiting for him right now," and it was a number 13 jersey, which is what Claret wore, and he couldn't help behind that. They tried to find Doug behind that chip, and in the championship game, Miami's quarterback Ken Dorsey, had he won the game, would have been the second quarterback to leave his college career undefeated and untied. The first and the only one is Chuck Ealy of Toledo University.
Mm-hmm. My man.
Because of that. They didn't even bring it up. They were that sure that Dorsey was going to win the damn game. And as much as I loved Miami during the rowdy days, I was so glad Miami didn't win that game because I didn't want to disrespect Mr. Ealy.
And Mike, the guy that did what I said should be done, displayed what should be done to win that game against Miami, and he did, as last, what's today, Thursday, Wednesday? Monday, was nominated for the Hall of Fame. Mike Jones, the safety at Ohio State, was nominated for the College Hall of Fame, and what I said when they played Miami, Dorsey, yes, who won championships, but Dorsey, something that Dorsey hadn't been done. Ain't nobody knocked him in his mouth yet. And the third play again, he punched him in his mouth, and the whole game changed. So you're right. You're right about that.
That's exactly it. And to my knowledge, Mr. Ealy is not in the College Football Hall of Fame, and damn well should be because of, because of what he's done.
Well, I know Chuck.
I'm pleased to say I know him too. And if anybody wants to know more,
You know that's been too long ago.
Yeah.
You know that that's old news there, because the whole thing that I don't like about Halls of Fame is so many of them in today's environment are popularity contests. I mean.
Yeah.
Just a few days ago, I ran across this line where these guys asserted, "Oh, they're going to forget about Shaquille and all these other guys, just like we forgot about Kareem." Okay, if we've said this here before, if you forget whose shoulders you're standing on, you might as well get ready to fall on your own ass, because when you do not respect the elders, I don't care what you think of them. They don't. We use the term "the bank is always open." Okay, if you are a basketball purist, you know you're talking about Sam Jones.
That's right.
But if you want these basketball morons who think that I don't care if you're talking about I don't care who you're talking about. If you don't know when the bank's open or the bank is always open, then you don't know basketball.
Come on.
If you don't know about spinning, you know that's Earl the Pearl, then you don't know basketball.
Fred, let me think back on what you said just said. I was telling somebody recently, and we were talking about basketball, not thinking I did the game Saturday with Villanova and Seton Hall. Seton Hall and Connecticut. Sorry about that, Tony.
Yeah.
That's just, hey, it's just another one of 3,000 colleges here in Connecticut.
So I was talking about, I mentioned Sam Jones, and the guy said, he was talking about shooters. I said, you know, with somebody saying Steph Curry is the best shooter of all time. There's no doubt his ability exemplifies shooting beyond what we usually see.
Mm-hmm.
But remember this.
But
he's in the era where they let him shoot.
Oh, God.
If he play, and I don't want to be one of these old guys where we get the better, but guys, some of the shots he would not get off in the days that Sam Jones played.
And you're not being the old guy in the barbershop. The games have changed.
Yes.
Now there's some guys that transcend eras.
Yes,
Wilt transcends eras. You know,
sure,
Russell. Yes. You know, Earl transcends eras. You know, we can make the argument. You know, maybe Jordan as well. But the thing is, you have to realize, you know, I've always been very complimentary, because you have to realize that a lot of the quote unquote stuff, I've never seen it before. No, you just haven't exposed yourself to it, and in more instances, you've gone out of your way to make yourself ignorant of it. The Negro Leagues, HBCUs, and you know, because see, again, that whole thing of, look, I get it with the young kids. I'll even give the young kids a pass because they don't know any better. But what's bothersome is these old folks that's supposed to know better. That's the problem.
Yep.
I agree.
Yep.
And see, the question you have to ask when it comes to these folks about, yes, we're just talking about spokes here. But if you were that ignorant about, everybody seemed to buy into talking about spokes at all levels. So if you were so ignorant about sports, what else? You are purposely ignorant of sports because you like to watch the TV. You don't want to read nothing. What else in your life have you been overlooking purposely? And what else is hitting you in the face because you are unwilling to educate yourself on just basic stuff? You know, you don't have to be a purist like some of us are. You know,
say it.
Because when you look at the different jobs that we do, but we still work together, and because we are able to work together. Because we read some of the same stuff, same kinds of stuff. We transfer information back and forth to each other. And at the end of the day, we continually educate ourselves. That is what the black community did for years and years and years. So white folks were going to come to nothing.
Say it.
We figured out how to do it ourselves. And we built our own game. You know, we built our own game.
Right. Come on,
because I can't say that was nigger ball.
Yep.
That running gun stuff. Don't nobody want to see that. What do you watch now? You see the ball being walked up the court when time is running out and we know somebody's already been beat. We just gonna hold the ball. That's when we walk the ball down the court.
But you
because
know,
it's when there's 40 or more seconds left, somebody better be getting back on defense. Somebody better be doing something progressive to make sure that you better be getting back on defense. And it's for Sam Jones. You know, Sam would tell you, you know, even when they were playing, supposed to be playing zone, they would come out on you. There was no 3-point line. So when you came across half court, you were being defended. Now, if you want to take time to win, you know, go through all that other stuff, that's all well and good. But at the same time, though, you had to be ready for to be defended.
You know what I'm saying?
Say it.
Here's the problem. There's so many young people today that who can't shoot, as we know, can't shoot with a damn, but don't know the aspects of playing the game with a bank shot. Off of the glass.
they don't know ankles. You know,
well, they can't shoot a head shot. I talked to a coach not long ago, and I said, well, you know, your big men, why don't you teach your big men and your four and your five, you know, how to shoot a be confident with a hook shot. Well, that's not a pretty shot. Say what?
Oh, my God.
Okay.
You ain't wrong. So Kareem
and all them guys like that, they should go back and give their Hall of Fame and NBA championships and Kareem's three NCAA championships, he'd give all them back because he'd have a pretty shot.
Not to mention all them damn points, but I digress.
Indeed, you know, if you do not know your subject matter,
but see, that was what we were talking about a little bit of purposely being ignorant.
Okay, exactly. But the Golden State Warriors is a classic example of this. Golden State Warriors play a lot down defense for half a quarter, right?
Gary, you have to remember something. Now they're considered the best shooting team of all time. Steph Curry is considered the best shooter of all time. They didn't want to say these words, but Steph knocking down those threes made them have to pay attention. And Klay Thompson knocking those threes down had to make them pay attention. But you better believe, if those brothers was as dark as me and Patrick, they wouldn't say a fucking thing.
Say it. Say, Mike, I got real quick before we got it. There's something I want to throw at you because I've had a conversation concerning with the coaches leaving and only two black coaches in the league. And we'll put that out to everybody. Mm-hmm. What's more important if you were a general manager and the owner of a team? Winning or the Super Bowl?
I would say Super Bowl, but see, it's a culture thing because again, in the NFL, there is no incentive to win because you get that TV money, you get that season ticket holders
fantasy money,
you get that FanDuel DraftKings money.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, so it's like, we can win too. Oh, okay, that's cool. That's cool.
Then
there's that barbershop aspect where, you know, if you listen to the sports talking heads, and they got a dozen on at a time now, I understand. But you know, when you listen, when that's how your brand is being reinforced through the morning talk shows, the noon talk shows, and afternoon talk shows, and then the evening talk shows. somewhere there in that mix, you may find a game. It's like going down the block and hearing these guys, and their whole conversation boils down to this. The older I get, the better I was.
The
unfortunate side is I. There was no team concept. It's all about I, me, mine. And look at the player. It's I, me, mine. And at the end of the day, what do you got? You got built-in obsolescence because you got so much built-in ineffectiveness. You got so much. I mean, who's credible? You know.
Yeah, that's right.
Say it.
Mm-hmm. So having said all that, Professor, and everybody else, you know, did the NFL really succeed in pushing the fact that they had a better product, or did they succeed in just being so fucking greedy that nobody cared because they were too busy betting?
There's
Mike, I'll answer that with the last 2 minutes of the Raiders Chargers game. That's my answer.
How many times was it said that, well, they should just kneel down and both of them go to the playoffs? Was that still being paranoia, or was that actually what was happening? Were they
a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. I think it's a little bit of both.
My answer to that question in terms of what it means to the NFL, I'll say this. This year, the Super Bowl is be playing where? Los Angeles, right?
Los Angeles.
Okay. There's a company called On Location Event. And this company is not open to the general public because general public doesn't really attach itself to it. But this company is a company that puts the total package for you to go to the Super Bowl. It's probably for people, for gamblers and for corporate people. And they can what they do, they fly you in first class. They have a first hotel for you. They have events. They have tickets, prime seat to the game. Some have limiting services. But the whole thing costs $5,900.
Oh, my God.
The NFL.
Ah, the what? NFL no grave? No, all of that and no gravy?
And little no chicken.
Y'all can like me at lunch today because I had some rice that wasn't flavored with any gravy.
Struck a nerve. Now,
3 years ago, this company had a 16% increase. Because of gambling, it's now up to 53% increase in buying their packages.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It's all by the NFL.
No. Is there room for female companionship for that $5,900, by the way?
By the time. So Mike's analogy of the women stepping on the women who are loading up and driving to the site of the Super Bowl,
guys, let me tell you this. In my years in front offices, if you don't believe that they don't know where you're located or who's on these lists, I ain't black.
I can testify that.
It reminds me of an old Red Fox joke. I'll keep it as clean as possible. Two women were going to, I guess, the ball game, or they were going to some places that, you smell something burning? I don't know. Maybe we walking too fast.
I guarantee Super Bowl 56, they will be importing ass from all around the world. Asian ass, Spanish ass, don't matter who ass, they're going to be in that bitch. Ain't no question about it. It's just, there will be so much decadence underneath everything. Nobody will pay attention because the Trump games will be too
late. Just to be
flash.
Sure, are they going to have COVID vaccinations or...
Right next to your tequila shots too.
Got that shit. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how much ancillary revenue is made, and I'm not talking about being awarded the bid as the city. I'm talking about all the people who come in. How much money is made from the selling ass? Giving ass, doing drugs, all this shit to the NFL supposedly employs. I guarantee you it's going to be thick as thieves in Los Angeles.
And I'm going to tell you this, too. Don't believe it's just guys for the women.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Before we finish saying it, it's time to go. Some great stuff, like gentlemen, as always. So, Patrick, since you lit the fire, keep it going, brother. Put something in the pot.
Actually, I got two for you, man, real quickly. The great Bob Arums is being sued by Terrence Crawford because Terrence Crawford has said that Bob Arums is being racially disparaging to black fighters because he can't get his fights like he wants. Bob Arums seems to now only want to promote white and Latino fighters, not black fighters. Ooh. Now, Terrence Crawford is one of the best fighters in the world, but they have problems with his promoting his fight. So Terrence is saying, really? You got enough money to buy 5 homes in Beverly Hills. You're going to get me one because I'm getting my money. All right? That's one. The second one is I want to send a big shout-out to and congratulations to a person I work with and have so much respect for. It's indescribable. A man named Willis Reed, who's having a blog grandma named after him. And I got that from Fred's webcast. Yeah.
The captain. The captain.
Yeah.
The captain. Number 19.
The captain.
Number 19.
Yes. And
the captain.
Yeah. And working with Willis is a much a good brother as you can find. Now leave it at that.
God bless him.
That's really nice to hear. Thank you so much, Patrick, for providing us with some added content. Professor, you're on point, my brother. Please throw something in the pot.
Well, after y'all made me sick last week, I'm back on my feet again. Then, you know, the grind continues. But today I met with the head of Lomberg Institute, and it points to us having to tell, you know, I sort of went through this little drill with him about how we got to tell our own story. And one of his most famous alums passed away about 2 weeks ago now, and that was Sam Jones. And one of the things we're looking at doing is honoring him at the upcoming All-Star game and so forth. But, you know, as I look down the road, what's coming, you know, the reason it's so important for us to tell our story is to open the door and to show that, and in some cases, to show some of us that the door has never been closed. We just wouldn't walk through. We fell for the open door and all these other things. We hit on it several times tonight in reference to Coach Mack, Coach Gaines, and some of the others. And, you know, the crazy thing is this is something that is up to us to fix. And all we got to do is put our effort towards fixing it versus just talking about it. And I think that we as a group are to be congratulated. In fact, in spite of the fact that too bad Reggie isn't here now, in spite of the fact that I had to send him a tease the other day after my school beat his school, but, you know, it's all family. You can reach me at www.blackheritageview.com. We have several books up and get ready for Black History Month. We do Black History Month every 24/7, 265 here, so I don't have to worry about that. But just go there. You can buy books, and we'll in about 3 hours, we'll be back up working on completing the history of HBCU men's basketball.
Real quickly, Fred, just real quickly, you know there's a push to restore HBCU wrestling, don't you?
Excuse me?
There's a push to restore HBCU wrestling. There's a brother at Morgan State that competed in the nationals this year. There's a push to bring it back.
Ooh. Yeah, they should. And I don't remember what the switch school it was, but there is
Morgan
an HBCU. And I want to say Kentucky State, they're actually starting about instituting women's wrestling.
Mm. Stuff to look forward to.
You know, add throw 100 days more than that, 24/7, 365.
And back in the day when I was actually wrestling in college, they didn't allow us to wrestle women. I don't know what the deal is.
Fred, let's put it this way. They didn't count the points.
Okay. That's right. They don't count. But you're still scoring. Having said that, the professor just scored. Big G, time for some wisdom, brother. Come on with it.
In 1960, the AFL was born.
Yes.
It was born with eight teams. Mm-hmm. Born west, born east. It's 2021. 22, excuse me, it's 2022. Kansas City, Buffalo, New England, Las Vegas, and Tennessee are the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, there were only eight teams in the AFL. Five of the eight are the playoffs this year. The AFL should be celebrating this beat. If the Las Vegas Raiders and Los Angeles Chargers had tied the game, which they didn't do, it would have been another one. Only one left out would be the Denver Broncos. And the New York Jets, stick up to heaven. Anyway.
Smell them from here. I can smell them from here.
I did. So, congrats to the old AFL. Congratulations. Wish them all of these well. And we go one o'clock. And it'll be a Martin Luther King Jr. This is 4 o'clock on Sunday. We're gonna do old school protest song, versus new school protest song.
Oh shit, Buffy St. Marie versus Public Enemy. I'm feeling that. There's some meat in that sandwich.
Mike, just one quick pick on Gary. Just led by AFL, they lost one of the great plays of AFL this week. They lost Don Maynard.
Don Maynard
was no joke. It takes an actor to talk to tell how fast and bad Maynard was.
He was.
Which leads to the question, what the fuck were the Giants thinking when they cut him?
Come on. So much for time evaluation, right? There you go. That's exactly right. And, you know, I'm hoping to say that Otis Taylor will be among those inducted soon.
Before
you
go,
and Nelson Greenwood, you need to smell your roses before you get buried underneath them. Big T, come on with it.
Ben Simmons met with the Sixers today.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Yeah. Apparently, it was wings and fries. That's what I was told.
Mm-hmm.
Him, Daryl Moore. Plenty of hot sauce. Daryl Morey and the GM Elton Brand. Nothing's changed. They still want a king's ransom. He still wants to leave Philly. This whole Kramer versus Kramer, Jones versus Jones thing is actually kind of funny. But quietly, the Sixers have won seven in a row and are staying somewhat above the prey. But all I'll say is put this way. Mr. Lillard is going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. In Portland.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just leave it there.
You know what? Just like you was told before, Mr. Lillard, welcome to Philadelphia. Mr. Simmons, grab a cheese steak and some crumpets and get the fuck out. Because until you learn to see the joke, I don't want to hear it.
Say it.
Having said that, we will enjoy the rebirth of the funk as myself and DJ Gray will next week initiate funk from A to Z. Mm-hmm. As we play every group, every artist, and show you why funk is a necessary requirement for living.
Yes. My question, is it going to stink or is it going to stank?
It's going to stank. You know, it's going to stank. If funk stinks, it's all right. If funk stinks, it's sure no good. Just like when we say good and bad. You know, good is at and bad is as good as you can possibly get. And having said that, we will close out tonight with one of two songs that every female knows the first two lines of. Now you know that's bad motherfucker when they can do that. Everyone, go safe, stay safe, be safe, and see you Sunday.
All time
wrong. Get your ass
up.
Stay safe, be safe. Good night, everybody.